Good morning. Welcome to worship to everyone, particularly those who are joining for the first of a few. Welcome. Congratulations for getting onto Zoom. For those of you who wish, at the end of the service, there are breakout rooms where we can linger for a while with a chat and a cup of homemade coffee. Just to remind you that Amos is doing his reflections. They're continuing throughout Lent, and you can get that through the website. And the Kirk session will meet on the 17th of March. I think these are all the intimations. Call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 27 and 28. Light, space, yes, that's God. So with him on my side, I'm fearless, afraid of no one and nothing. When Vandal hordes ride down, ready to eat me alive, those toughs and bullies fall flat on their faces. Don't turn a deaf ear when I call you, Lord. If all I get from you is deafening silence, I'd be better off in the black hole. I'm letting you know what I need, calling out for help and lifting my arms towards your inner sanctum. Don't shove me into the same jail cell with those crooks, with those who are full-time employees of evil. They talk a good line of peace, then moonlight for the devil. Pay them back for what they've done, for how bad they've been. Pay them back for the long hours in the devil's workshop, then cap it with a huge bonus, because they have no idea how God works or what he's up to. God will smash them into smithereens and then walk away from the ruins. Our first hymn this morning is, O Worship the King.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we pray you look upon the hearty desires of your humble servants and stretch out your strong hand and mighty arm to come to our defense against our enemy. Father, we confess to you that we have sinned exceedingly in thought, word, and deed. We have neglected opportunities to do good to others. We've run after vain and perishable things and forgotten the things which are eternal. Take away from us, O God, our sins which separate us from you, that with pure hearts and cleansed lips we may come before you and celebrate this service joyfully and praise your name through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none like you.
Our first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading verses 7 to 9. Paul has just reminded the Corinthians that church leaders are firstly servants of the Lord, one planting the seed of faith, another one watering it. He goes on to say, So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. And our second reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 24. In this passage, Paul is concluding his letter of encouragement to the church in Thessalonica. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. And may God bless these readings of his holy word. Our next hymn is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty Lord and Father, we thank you for raising up among us the sign of your cross to save all who trust your word. May this sign help us to perceive your love and strengthen our faith against all doubts, so that we may serve you in joyful hope throughout all our life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us reflect this morning on the theme, the marks of a true church. The story is told of a little boy who attended a Sunday school in one city. When his parents moved to another part of the city, the little fellow still attended the same Sunday school, although it meant a long, tiresome walk each day. A friend asked him why he went so far and told him that there were plenty of others just as good nearer his home. "They may be as good for others, but not for me," was his reply. "Why not?" she asked. "Because there they love a fellow over there," he replied. He had a sense or a feeling of love in that community of faith and felt that he was truly and dearly valued. Dear friends, if only we could make the world believe that we loved them, there would be fewer empty churches and a smaller proportion of our population who never darken a church door. The church needs to be a place where people feel at home with each other and are willing to commit to it. In our text this morning, 1 Thessalonians, Paul tries to characterize such a helpful community. In it, he lays down practical guidelines that are necessary for making the church a family of God's people. His advice involves Christians' responsibilities towards their leaders or pastors, the need for peace among brethren, caring for one another, and forgiving each other when we are wronged. According to the apostle, if we respect our leaders and have peace with each other and support and forgive, then the church will be a happy, prayerful, and thankful community. Let us think about those characteristics or values together. Verse 12 to 13, Paul urges the Thessalonians to acknowledge those who work hard among them, to respect their leaders because of the work they are doing. Christian leaders are those who work hard among you, Paul says. Now, this is significant because many people regard the pastorate as a Sundays-only occupation. And to be sure, sometimes we clergy are lazy and even dormant. But true pastoral work is a big word Paul used for struggle and to grow weary in doing so. God has delegated authority to those chosen as elders or pastors, shepherds to oversee the church and to serve as examples to the brethren. So church leaders do not hold absolute authority, but will give an account to God for those placed under their care. Therefore, we respect them out of reverence for the source of their authority, God himself. So now you ask me, how do we or how can we respect our leaders? Hebrews 13 verse 7 gives us the answer. Obey your leaders and submit to them. And obedience means going along with directions or commands, whereas submission involves an attitude. You can obey outwardly while seething with anger on the inside, but you aren't submitting. Submission implies a spirit of cooperation that stems from trust, the trust that we have for those true leaders. The apostle encourages us to respect our leaders. And Paul goes on to say we should live in peace with each other. The reason is because we need a peaceful atmosphere to preach the gospel of love. It is quite frustrating to preach the gospel in a church that has been poisoned by hate. We need peace with ourselves. We need peace with God if we truly want to benefit from the life-giving word that comes from Him. And at verse 14, Paul asks us to encourage those who are weak amongst us. In every church, there are faint-hearted people who are not confident enough about their own faith. They need to be helped by the brave ones in the fellowship. Good Christian people should forge bonds of fellowship and persuasion to hold on to those who are likely to stray away. And then we should never take revenge against each other. Even if people mistreat us, we must conquer them by seeking their. Now, dear friends, if we respect our leaders, if we are at peace with one another, and if we support the weak ones in the church fellowship and forgive instead of taking revenge when we are hurt, then the church will be characterized by happiness, prayerfulness, and thankfulness. It will be a happy church. Verse 16 of our text, be joyful. There will be in the church an atmosphere of joy which makes its members feel. True Christianity is a thrilling and not a depressing thing. And a church that is not joyful is a dead church. It will be a praying church. Verse 17. If we are at peace with our church leaders and with one another, our church's prayers would be more effective because a house that prays together stays together. And then it will be a thankful church. There is always something for which to be thankful. Even on the darkest day, there are blessings to count because the brother or sister in the fellowship is a blessing, and the pastor too is a blessing. And if we are blessings to each other, our problems would quickly fade away or disappear because they would be handled together. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is central to our learning from this passage of scripture are the relationships that should characterize a healthy, respectful, joyful, and peaceful church. What attitude should the local congregation adopt towards its pastors? They are neither to despise them as if they were dispensable or superfluous, nor to flatter them as if they were popes or princes, but rather to respect them and to hold them in the highest regard. This combination of appreciation and affection will enable pastors and people to live in peace with each other. But as you know, as I don't need to remind you, the problem is that in too many churches, pastors and church members and other leaders are at loggerheads. This is painful for those involved, inhibiting to the church's life and growth, and damaging to its public image. By contrast, happy is the church family in which pastors and people recognize that God calls different believers to different ministries, exercise their own ministries with diligence and humility, and give to others respect and love which their God-appointed labor demands. That church will shine like a light in a dark night and place. It will have joy within itself. It will have power to win others, and it will share in one another's burdens. That is the kind of church that Paul thinks of and that Paul believes that should be in the world of men and women. A church that shares its burdens with others. Fred Siegel, preaching minister at Garfield Christian Church in Indianapolis, tells a story about McNutson. On August 28, 1993, Mark was diagnosed with an extremely aggressive form of cancer. When diagnosed, he was already in the late stages and was only given a short time to live. Mark's biggest worries were not for himself, but only for his wife and two children. Who would take care of them? Would there be people to love and support them throughout his ordeal? By September 19, his worries were taken care of. The Knudsen family heard noise outside, opened the window, and saw that the street was filled with Christian friends from their church. After completely encircling the house, all of the friends joined hands and prayed for Mark and his family. They let the Knudsen family know they were loved. Mark was too ill to receive visitors, but the show of love continued. These Christians continued their public display of love through the next 6 weeks. During that time, not a day went by in which 2 to 20 people gathered in the corner of the yard to pray for the Knudsens. Because Mark was so sick, they kept a prayer register on the back porch so that Mark would know who had been there. These Christians did more than pray. Many of them faithfully sent cards of encouragement. Some helped with transportation and other needs for the Knudsen children. And then the Knudsens said, "We truly felt a hedge of love encircling our home." Mark passed away knowing that his wife and children were loved and taken care of by the family. Not only did this display of Christian love affect the Knudsens, their neighbors were also positively influenced. Several families witnessing the love of Christ in action by these faithful and supportive church members obeyed the gospel and came to Christ. Friend, that is a picture of a church family par excellence. Show me a church where there is love, and I will show you a church that is a power in the community. Let love replace duty in our church relations, and the world will soon be evangelized. And remember, friend, the church is not a gallery for the better exhibition of eminent Christians, but a school for the education of imperfect ones. These are the marks of a true church. Let us pray. Faithful and ever-living Father, we thank you for your word that comes to challenge the way we live and conduct business in our lives. We confess for times, O Father, when we have not been the kind of family that you want us to be. But we trust that we are always in a learning curve and that you teach us anew every day. Help us, O Father, to renegotiate our commitment to you and with you, to love ourselves and to care for one another. Grant us the peace which passes all understanding, the peace which only you can give. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our next theme is "One More Step Along the Way I Go." Thank you.
Firstly, our prayers of dedication. Let us pray. Father, we bring the gift of our lives, the offering of our service and our commitment to love. Accept these gifts of our money, our time and our talents. Use all we have and are and will be, so that tomorrow we may be better equipped to live for Jesus. That Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We come now to our prayers of intercession, our prayers for others and for ourselves. I have a response, and for those who are comfortable, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, the response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for wisdom in churches. For churches where the gospel is preached and faith in Christ is declared. For churches that are active in social concern, working with the young and the needy. May they also find space to pray and to study your word. For churches rich in fellowship and rich in the things of the Spirit. We pray for your church here in Newport. Give health, strength, and encouragement to Amos, our minister, and to all whom he knows and loves. Bless all that he does in your name and for your glory. Be with all those of us gathered in worship this morning. Be with the Kirk session as we encounter the opportunities and the challenges of life in the parish and the cluster which you have called us. May the light of Christ be the source of wisdom for churches near and far. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our world. We pray for all those involved in the struggle with COVID, that everyone will truly realise that the involvement of each and every one of us is essential. We pray for those who struggle for justice, for the deprived and the despairing, for those who are seeking to make the world a cleaner, safer, fairer place for all. For all those who choose to ignore the effect their decisions are having on your good world. For leaders of industry and for those involved in the financial markets who work only in the short term and give no thought to future generations. May the light of Christ be the source of all wisdom for all the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for wisdom for people, for those tempted and trapped by the offers of instant solutions to their problems, but have no answers for the debts that must be faced tomorrow. For those enslaved by gambling, and for those who ignore the fact that those sudden riches are paid for by folk who can least afford it. We pray for all those working with people who are struggling with any kind of addiction. May the light of Christ be the source of all wisdom for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, at this time, we pray for wisdom for parents, for those bringing up children alone or in a family, for those under pressure or strain, for those parents uncertain of employment and how to keep out of debt. for those parents concerned for their children's welfare and future, and for those unconcerned and unaware of where their children are or what they are doing. May the light of Christ be the source of all wisdom for all parents. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for wisdom for ourselves. May the light of Christ be the source of our wisdom in all that we face and in all that we choose, in all that we plan and all that we desire, in all our relationships and in all our service, in all our commitments to, and in all our obedience, in all our pain and in all our pleasure, in all our successes and in all our failures, in all our joys and in all our sorrows, in all our walking with God and trusting in Jesus, in all our waiting on the Spirit and in all our surrender. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we ask our prayer. Amen. Our next hymn is From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. Learn how to serve.
each other's needs to prefer. For it is Christ, this serving, this is our God, the servant.
Let us now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Had Done.
Thank you.
in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may rejoice this day and always and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.